member Lindsey Graham said today, the senator from South Carolina, that he thinks Obama will go with General McChrystal's recommendation of 30 to 40,000 troops in Afghanistan for a little bit of a surge and won't cut and run. But should he? And for goodness sake, how long does it take this administration to decide? So far, it's been 2 months and counting. How your pant size can decide whether you'll get cancer or not. Free speech and dogfighting. The Supreme Court will weigh in on this one. Wait to hear the backstory on it, folks. Obama disses the Dalai Lama. Do you know that no president going all the way back to 1991 has said no to receiving the Dalai Lama? You know, I'm not superstitious, but I might be on this one. There's something about karma there. Could it be our problem with the Chinese? Like the fact that they want nothing to do with the Dalai Lama, who is protesting their harsh treatments. So, of course, they've got our debt. There is a backstory on that as well. Obama's approval ratings, we'll tell you where they're at, and the daily salute goes to a baseball team who did it in 12 innings. Plus, on this show, the top 10 things David Letterman could do instead of seducing the staff. And we have a top doc joining us in 10 minutes, somebody who deals with swine flu to fill in the blanks. You know how I feel about it. I don't want to roll my sleeve up, but what is the deal with influenza in general? And how about people like myself who say, why do I need this shot anyway? The H1N1 virus, does the traditional flu shot even guard against this thing? Do you need a couple shots? Who should get it and who shouldn't get it? What is in this? How well has it been tested? They're putting the brakes on it, by the way, in Canada. Anyway, we're going to talk with Dr. John Seymour. He is the Associate Program Director, Johns Hopkins University Sinai Hospital Residency Program for Internal Medicine. That's just a long title, which means he really knows his stuff, and he's coming up in 10 minutes. But first, right from the get-go, speaking of our health, no vote, as was expected. We told you this on our last show from the Senate Finance Committee on health care reform. You know, they were going over, pouring over this $900 billion bill. Well, part of the reason why is because the Congressional Budget Office is saying, $900 billion? What are you, crazy? It's going to be like a trillion dollars, which, again, was my fear all along, the cost to you and me and the cost of putting this in action. That means nobody's going to get the same care, let's be real about it, thus the premium all the way down to the bronze, which was proposed, labeling it that way. And also we're going to see cuts in Medicare, so that is going to affect some people. I mean, it just has to. There's no way they're going to be able to pay for it. Plus tax increases. Let's face it. You look at the insurance companies. Do you know that they have profited 350% profit? It's gone up. 350% profit for the insurance companies. They're making the money. We should all be in insurance. And at that, probably health insurance. Anyway, earlier in the day, I happened to catch this on Fox News. He was just a guest, but a senator from Wyoming, John Barrasso, summed it up pretty well, I thought, about the public option deal and why this is a killer. And ultimately, what happens when we talk about, besides the public option, making this fair across the board for everybody? What's not fair in healthcare, and why will this reform, the way it's being proposed anyway, not work? Here's what he said.
Well, take a look. Well, compare it to Medicare, which we know right now is going bankrupt, and I see the same thing happening there. You're going to get huge subsidies. What we do know about this Baucus bill is it's going to cost about $1 trillion, and they're going to pay for it by $500 billion in Medicare cuts. And I get concerned for all of those folks who depend on Medicare for their health care. It's going to make it tougher for them. Plus, there's going to be $400 billion of tax increases. So, and I think it's going to threaten people's choices in terms of their own health care. That's what we do know is going to come out with this Baucus bill. Whatever the estimate's going to be, it's going to be close to $1 trillion, and it's going to bankrupt the states because it's forcing so much of the cost of the care onto the states through Medicaid. That's what we're really looking at. So we do need health care reform. We ought to allow people to buy insurance across state lines, get the same tax breaks that the corporations get. We ought to give an incentive for wellness for people who take responsibility for their own health. We ought to be able to take care of all of these abusive lawsuits that are out there. And finally, let small groups band together to get better deals in health care. That's the way you want to reform the system and get the quality up and the cost down.
All right, quality up, cost down. I'm for that. Show us the road, Senator, please. Now, the latest thing that's been discussed, of course, is state-run health plans and coming up with a blueprint there for health insurance plans that would be run by state governments. And one of the big supporters, naturally, of that is the governor in California, because California, you know, is slipping away into the ocean, what with the fires, the debt, and the crazy things that are going on in trying to balance their budget, which they can't do, you know, that tug of war that they're having. They've had to cut state services and all that other sort of stuff to try to get on an even keel. Well, now that's what we're hearing, that there could be this kind of this compromise maybe where you had it run by state governments. And there has been a push for this, right? Now, a lot of people are challenging that idea because they're saying, well, then how about the federal government's role in here? If we're going to expand insurance coverage to millions of Americans, we really need the federal government involved. But instead, what would happen is you would have this network, and this has been discussed before, we've talked about it, you'd have this network of nonprofit health co-ops, and they would get $6 billion of federal money to help to compete with private insurers in a bid to contain the prices. See, this is the deal. Now everybody's grabbing on to the tail of, this is America, capitalism, competition. How can we boost competition in the private market by enacting government-run plans at the state level? Well, states could act by themselves, like California, or with others to get a little bit more leverage, I guess, in the marketplace. And they would have the same rules that have already been in existence for private companies using the National Insurance Exchange, which is what has been talked about, and which is part of what they've mentioned in the Senate Finance Bill. Another option would also allow states to open their workers' employee benefits plans to the general public as well. So I think it's great that the states are stepping forward, or at least some of these governors are and some of these lawmakers are, and trying to take some of the responsibility on this stuff. And why not take a close look at it? It's what I've said before. Erase the state lines for the competition, because I think what happens there, then you can shop around more. And if you can shop around more, that means that costs have to naturally be lowered, because $1 trillion is not going to work. Didn't everybody out there know it was not going to be a $900 billion piece of legislation? Of course it wasn't. We knew Medicare. If you looked at the example of Medicare and when it was working, but if you looked at what it cost, it didn't cost anywhere near what was initially suggested. So hold on, because it's going to be a bumpy ride throughout the rest of this show and throughout the rest of the way when we talk about health care reform. Coming up next, should you get the shot or not when it comes to the H1N1 virus? Stay with us.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Hey everybody, this is Stephen Baldwin, and if your daily vitamin is in pill form, you're wasting a lot of your money. Put all that stuff away and call my friends at Choose for Health. They've created a unique chewable supplement that has 16 ingredients your body needs most: antioxidants, sea vegetables, and super fruit complexes. And being a chewable, it's more quickly absorbed into your system, not passed through it like all those pills you've been taking. Save yourself some money. Do what I did and get 16 useful ingredients in one product. You won't regret the decision. Call them today at 1-800-226-5970 or check them out online at orderchoose.com. That's 1-800-226-5970. And if you order now, Choose for Health is donating a percentage of your order to my mom's charity, the Carol M. Baldwin Breast Cancer Research Fund. We like to call that Choose for Charity. Call now for your health and a great cause. 1-800-226-5970 or orderchoose.com. Thanks.
By the way, hi, everybody. Kate and Lenny, America. Tonight, the flu vaccinations are off to a slow start, at least according to the CDC. And we're talking about this vaccination against the H1N1 swine flu, if you will. And a lot of the doses aren't out there yet. And we're talking about nasal spray for first patients and all that other sort of stuff. You have states ordering a share of the vaccine, and some people now pretty nervous, especially pregnant women. There have been 28 pregnant women who have died as a result of connection to the swine flu. So very thrilled to have here on America Tonight, because he's hanging late with us, is Dr. John Smarr. And what credentials he has, we talked about this already, but he's a faculty physician at Sinai Hospital, Baltimore. He's the associate program director, Johns Hopkins University, of course, the Sinai Hospital residency program, internal medicine that I mentioned. And what does he specialize in? Well, among the things, of course, swine flu. Hey, Doc, thanks for hanging late here on ATN.
Hey, not a problem, Kate. Good to be here.
There is a lot of confusion, before we dive into this, about the vaccine. The FDA approves the vaccine. There were companies developing it, and there are a lot of people that call this show, Doc, that are concerned about taking the vaccine. They remember back to the 70s and what happened, and of course, you know, we're in 2009 now, but people that are concerned about taking the vaccine and what could happen to them as a result, should they be concerned about that?
I don't think there's any reason at all to have any concern. I think one thing that's kind of confusing to people is they hear often that there's the new H1N1 that we medically have been trying to call the 2009 H1N1 virus, but has sort of persisted in the media as being called the swine flu, is the fact that we've been hearing about this for months and comparatively less about the seasonal influenza, yet somehow we already have the seasonal influenza vaccine that's come out, and people have concerns about, well, don't they have to make a brand new vaccine for the H1N1? Does this mean that there's a problem with it being safe? Are they rushing it abduction, things like that. And those type of fears, although good questions, are completely unfounded because it's essentially the same vaccine that we use every year for the seasonal influenza. It's just that if you think about it, maybe use a Lego analogy, they just unplugged the seasonal vaccine and the seasonal virus and plug in the H1N1, and otherwise it's exactly the same. There's nothing terribly special or different about it beyond that.
What is it about the pregnant women? I mentioned that 28 have died as a result, and so of course we keep hearing, well, pregnant women should get the shot or the nasal spray or whatever, but they need some protection. What is it, Doc, about who are the people who are most likely to get the H1N1?
Well, that's kind of interesting, and it speaks to really the difference that people are worried about in terms of the H1N1 from 2009 versus the seasonal viruses that are going around. Usually, mostly, the seasonal influenza causes the most problems in two groups of people, the very, very young and the very, very old, people who you could sort of think either haven't developed their immune system yet, or older people, your immune system does tend to decline with age when you get to the more elderly years and you think that, well, most of the seasonal influenza, doesn't cause as many problems for younger, healthier people. What we've been seeing with the H1N1, this new virus this year, though, is that more of the people who have been getting significantly sick, have needed to go into the hospital, and also who have been dying, have actually sort of disproportionately been younger, healthier people. And so that's a population that we're really concerned about. And then, obviously, as you've mentioned, pregnant women in particular, every year we worry about pregnant women in terms of contracting influenza and making sure that we try to get them vaccinated. But in this particular case, for some reason, we're seeing more fatalities with women who are pregnant who get this infection. And so, obviously, we're doubly concerned about wanting to make sure that we prevent that from happening.
The nasal spray versus the shots, what's the difference? Just what's available?
It's kind of a confusing thing. It used to be a few years ago that all we had for vaccinating people against regular influenza was the shot. And then one of the companies developed the nasal spray, and the difference between the two is that the shot contains sort of killed pieces of the virus. It actually doesn't cause an infection. It's designed to stimulate your body to have an immune system response to it. Whereas the nasal spray works by actually having a live virus inside it that's been changed in the laboratory, so it doesn't actually cause the full influenza illness. And so this has been a new thing that we've been dealing with for the past couple of years, and so for regular seasonal influenza, you've got these two choices. Now, for the new H1N1, it just so happens that in terms of the companies that were able to get their production up in time, that we already sort of have a jump start on getting some of the intranasal version instead of the shots, although I'm sure that the shots will be coming out a few days later. And this is all going to be rolling out, as most people know, over the next week or two. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Doc. Finish up, sure.
Sure. I was just going to say that the goals for who gets it is that the nasal spray has sort of been well studied and is thought to be safe and in children who are 2 years of age or older, and then for people up to 49 years of age. So there's this target window, whereas the actual intramuscular shot can be given to a broader group of people.
Do you think that we're going to see a wicked flu season? Do you think we're going to see, you know, I don't know, how do you rate the flu season? You look at statistics, obviously. But do you think that we've got a real handle on this, or do you think we're going to have a wild flu season?
I think that there are a lot of questions about how this is going to play out, and they're from a purely scientific arena are looking at this and very interested to see how the epidemiology, meaning is the swine flu virus going to mix in with the regular seasonal viruses and then it sort of peter out? Is it going to be a monstrous flu season? I think the next couple of weeks are really going to tell. What's important and what some people don't realize is that currently, if someone comes in to see their doctor, gets sick right now with influenza, 99% of those people across the entire United States are getting sick with the H1N1 virus. They're not actually getting the seasonal influenza. So it's already a pretty much a whopper of a season in terms of we've been going at a steady pace for the last few weeks. We haven't yet hit a big spike since a few months ago back when the H1N1 virus first sort of swept across the U.S. And it's really, in a way, kind of a race. And the important thing is that, of course, since 99% of the people who are getting sick are getting the H1N1 virus, we need to make sure that everyone is getting access to the vaccines as soon as possible. And so it's going to be important to see how quickly we can get the vaccines out and how quickly we can get people vaccinated to see if we can head off an even bigger spike in the flu cases as the winter continues to move on.
Yeah, and if you get the regular, I'm going to call it the regular old flu shot, is that, sure, would that protect you against the H1N1?
It's not thought that the viruses are different enough that what happens when you get one of these vaccines is it's stimulating your body to make antibodies against the virus. And it's thought that they're different enough that you probably won't get much in the way of cross protection is the term that we use. So if you get the regular old seasonal shot, it's probably not going to do a whole lot for you to protect you from the H1N1. So it's important definitely to get both. The other message is that we don't know what's going to happen over the coming months with the seasonal influenza viruses. And let's say that if many people get protected against the new H1N1, it's entirely possible that those could spike as well. And so the inverse is true, too, that if you get the H1N1 vaccine only, then it's probably not going to give you much protection against the seasonal influenza. So the bottom line is that it's really important to make sure we get both. But at this point, I think the critical thing is making sure that the right people are getting the H1N1 vaccine as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, so pay attention, pregnant women, certainly. Dr. Don Smarr, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'd love to have you back on the show again. Would you come back on with us?
Oh, spectacular. Absolutely, Kate. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. All right, coming up next, odds and ends. We're going to fill in the blank on some big things that are popping across the U.S.
If you're tired of paying too much for gas, diesel, or heating oil, Future Fuel Technologies has the answer you're looking for. It's called FFT Fuel Saver. FFT Fuel Saver is made using a patented formula that helps fuel burn cleaner, resulting in a 10 to 20% increase in fuel efficiency and reduces emissions 30% or more. Each bottle of FFT Fuel Saver will save you money, increase your MPG, improve engine performance, and will treat up to 160 gallons of fuel. When used in your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat, you will feel the results in 20 miles or less. FFT Fuel Saver is registered with the EPA, the Better Business Bureau, is made in the USA, and comes with a money-back guarantee. To start saving money now, visit FutureFuelTechnologies.com. That's FutureFuelTechnologies.com, or call 1-888-961-6600. That's 1-888-961-6600. FFT, simply the best fuel saver on earth.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Food security from eFoods Direct, the most valuable protection your family can have. It's a scary world we live in. Schools closed, businesses shut down, and reports of death, all from the swine flu. We've had more bank failures this year than the previous 10 years combined. And money will soon be more valuable as toilet paper due to the nation's $12 trillion debt, which is why gold is now over $1,000 an ounce. According to the Atlanta Fed chief, unemployment is actually 16%. And the solution for every one of these threats to your family is food security from eFoods Direct. Call 1-800-409-5633 or visit eFoodsDirect.com. food security for your family from the new Nutraversal Foods from eFoods Direct. Just add water, and in minutes your family will enjoy gourmet restaurant taste, health food quality ingredients, and a guaranteed 10-year shelf life. Food security from eFoods Direct, the most valuable protection your family can have, even more valuable than gold. Visit eFoodsDirect.com or call 1-800-409-5633.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's AlkaZone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
Everybody, Kate Delaney hanging with you here on America Tonight. So what's with dissing the Dalai Lama? The Dalai Lama shows up Monday in Washington and a bunch of lawmakers, of course, schmoozing with the man from Tibet, but not the president. The president decided not to meet with the Dalai Lama until after he visits the Chinese president in November, so he's going to postpone his first meeting with the Lama. Ooh. I don't know, there's something about this big-time humanitarian, spiritual leader. You know, he's the man behind really the driving force with Tibet's Buddhists. And Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary, had to clean this one up. He said both the U.S. and the Dalai Lama say that it would be best to meet after the president visits China. Now, what's interesting is the Dalai Lama has met with the past three sitting U.S. presidents during visits to Washington, but this is obviously a crucial time in foreign policy with the Chinese because of the economic things that are happening. Hello, they have our debt. And what's going on with the environment. But there are people who aren't too pleased about it. To me, I don't know, it's kind of tempting the whole karma, tipping it, you know, tipping the balance or something. I don't know. But Obama's trying to keep those ties going with China, but then somehow trying, this is typical, trying to express support with the Dalai Lama. Okay. And, of course, the U.S. has been slammed by a lot of world leaders who have met with the Dalai Lama and got slammed by China as a result of doing that. But they say that, you know, they don't care because they're trying to help the people in Beijing and address the whole human rights complaints thing. But instead, the Dalai Lama gets stuck with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi among those who met with him on the Hill in Washington. So that's the scoop there. Also, we told you about the approval ratings. I think I mentioned that earlier in the show, and I didn't want to give you the payoff there. Obama's approval rating has actually jumped 6%. They're starting to rise all of a sudden in a new poll. So what's going on here? Are the concerns about the economy lifted? The health care? Wars persisting? I don't get this. An Associated Press GFK poll says 56% of those surveyed in the past week approve of Obama's job performance. That's up from 50% in September. That's big. It's the first time since he took office in January that the number has actually gone up. Apparently, the people, at least the ones that were polled, feel better about how he's handling the economy and his proposed health care overhaul. I don't get that. So support for the war in Afghanistan, we know that's declined. You can see that in any of the polls that come up. But I was very, very surprised to see that big, big number. Healthcare and the economy. I'm thinking, are these all very liberal Democrats that they talk to? Well, to be sure, 88% of Democrats said they approved of his performance in office. Just 18% of Republicans approved. But the actual Republican number was up 6 points in September. Only 12% said they approved. So that number's gone up, too. It's like I say, you know, whatever you think of the polls, there is something to that measurement, even though you're talking about a small amount of people. Otherwise, these polls, people wouldn't pay for these polls if they were just so wrong and off the mark. So somebody feels optimistic that they're seeing those numbers jump, that the way they're jumping. But I'll tell you, a lot of the people I've talked to, and we've heard it here in America Tonight, I'm saying people who are Democrats, liberals, whatever you want to label them as, across the board, people I think are pretty frustrated. And it starts with the economy, with what's happening in Afghanistan, with the health care, and I don't know. This is interesting. Apparently in Europe, because they do polls, too, in Europe, rarely, about the president. But in Europe, of course, the approval rating off the charts, like 85, 90%. Wow. 90%. Here's the thing to keep in mind, though, I guess. AP, you know, pretty much they're going to poll a lot of Democrats, maybe 60% Democrats. And then you look at another poll and you'll see the complete opposite. For example, Fox, you'll see a completely different result. But, you know, hey, the numbers are the numbers, and let them fall where they may. We'll see what happens if health care reform passes, or what form of health care reform passes, I guess is an even better way to say that. In the meantime, in the thick with Iran, coming off of last week where Iran promised to, we'll show you what we got, do one of those. And there's going to be inspectors looking into that facility that was picked up on satellite imagery. That's supposed to happen October 25th, so that's weeks away still. In the meantime, one of the things that Obama and others, other world leaders, were emphasizing is, look, and this was after missiles were tested once again, the time for talk is done, and if these things don't happen, there's going to be sanctions. There's going to be sanctions. But, you know, you can make the argument, one, do sanctions work? Well, sanctions don't mean anything if they don't have teeth. For example, in Iran, they need to refine the gasoline. So if you cut that out and you get cooperation to do that to the countries who are doing it, then, okay, that could be crippling. And there are other ways that you could affect Iran economically that would have a big impact. And maybe that shakes the core of Ahmadinejad, the nutball, and the folks around him. So here is what the Undersecretary of the Treasury said in regards to sanctions and Iran.
The plan we are developing is necessarily comprehensive. As many of you noted in your statements, no single sanction alone is a silver bullet. We will need to impose measures simultaneously in many different forms in order to be effective. We will need a united coalition. We are intensifying work with our allies and other partners to ensure that if we must strengthen sanctions, we will do so with as much international support as possible. I think that will be critical to our success.
All right, so you hear what he said there. Critical to the success, the international support, and that has to be there. Because if you don't have the Chinas, the Russias, et cetera, if you don't have everybody else on board, then it's a moot point. You know, that's the bottom line. Because you need everybody to be on board, and that's why that now is constantly what's being said. It's not just about the U.S. It has to be about the other players in the situation with Iran. So if everybody else is on board in the neighborhood, you know what I mean, then I think this would be the one time if seriously, they do some of the things they're talking about to Iran, it could, I'm saying could, a slim chance, affect maybe the outcome there. But let's see what happens on the 25th, because that certainly is step one. In the meantime, something you might have missed as we were zooming all over the place per usual here on ATN, kids started getting the swine flu vaccine, and it might be the largest flu vaccine campaign in U.S. history. Of course, we were just talking to the good doctor, and you know my feelings on it. Untested, I've never, knock on wood, had problems with the flu to begin with. There are workers who are saying they don't want to do it, the ones in New York that are being forced to do it because they've always been healthy and they've been around flu people and they feel like, you know, why should they have to do it? And I would be one of those people, too, where I haven't ever had it, so I feel like, you know, you're wasting it on me anyway. And I still don't feel secure, even with what the doc is saying. I mean, he's a prestigious. He's certainly prestigious among the faculty at Johns Hopkins and working with the interns and his specialty. And you heard what he had to say ultimately about this strain of the flu. There certainly are no absolutes, and that's the deal. So the first doses of the vaccine were given to the kids, like I said, just a day after the healthcare workers started getting them as well. And it's pretty much right now nasal spray flu mist is what they're doing. That's what they're administering in hospitals in Chicago, Georgia, and Nebraska. That's some of the places. So you've got doctors, nurses, and other people in the health field that are getting them first. And the parents, for the most part, seems like they're just getting in line with this whole thing and getting vaccinated. They feel like over the next couple of weeks, the vaccine will probably get about maybe 20 million doses every week. So how many are you concerned about the vaccine, even despite what we just heard there? And also, how many of you will get the vaccine? I'm thinking it's one of these deals where the pregnant women, now that 28 have died, there might be stress factor there where it's like, ooh, I'm not going to take this risk. But, you know, like in Memphis, they've been hit really hard with this. They've got 6,000 cases. They have 100 kids who have been hospitalized. So they're probably likely to line up and roll their sleeves up, or actually now, like I said, it's nasal. So to get it that way, for fear that, man, that's just too many people, I'll take my chances. And the healthcare people there aren't complaining. They're getting in line and doing it, too. But of course, if somebody gets sick with it and then you have the result of somebody dying with participating in it, it's going to make huge news and it's going to scare the rest of us to death because most of us, or at least a big chunk of us, feel a little bit shaky about it. I mean, I've run into more people who say they don't want to get it. They just don't feel like it's safe enough, hasn't been tested enough for them. And they don't want to be one of these people that then they back it up and say, oh, well, you know, that was really exacerbated by you getting the nasal spray or the shot or whatever. It sounds so ridiculous, but, hey, it's happened in the past, and there is not a 100% guarantee with it. It's almost like in a different way, because we're talking about flu here. autism, they say the numbers are staggering. I mean, just absolutely staggering, worse than you could ever imagine how many kids are diagnosed with autism. And there is the argument about vaccinations and the way the vaccines, you know, the common vaccines that the kids have to get before they go to school, the way and the times that when they're administered, that is helping to trigger some of this. Now, conventional medicine won't acknowledge it, but there are others that say, hey, it's true, it's true. You start to hear these kind of things, and then you start to hear about how quickly this thing was approved, and it does make you think twice. All right, coming up on America Tonight, we have birthdays and, of course, this day in history. And besides all of that, we've got a few odds and ends for you, too, like some of that news you can't abuse. That's all coming up next right here on America Tonight.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit Diginet.net. That's Diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
I like to see you go right across the floor. I like to do the thing to call a phone call. I like to reggae, but you can't do that for me. You can make me scream.
A little Stevie Wonder. You are wondering what happened on this day in history. A lot of things happened, including this one, if we go back in the Wayback Machine. In 1949, the Republic of East Germany was formed. We know what happened in later years. In 1858, even before that, jump back, the fifth debate between Illinois senatorial candidates Abe Lincoln and Stephen Douglas took place in Galesburg. Mm-hmm. And if we jump up to 79, Pope John Paul II concluded his week-long tour of the U.S., with a mass on the Washington Mall. I don't know how many people were there, but I've seen pictures of it, and it looks like the place, like standing room only and beyond. All right, celebrating birthdays. We're going to get to that, too, before we fly off into the sunset. Among those celebrating birthday, Joy Behar from The View. You might be surprised at how old Joy Behar is. I mean, I could care less about age, but in in her case, I don't know that, I don't remember her ever talking about that the few times I've seen that show when it comes up about birthdays. But see, here's the thing with the internet, everybody can pretty much be exposed. Although a lot of times the ages are off. Also celebrating a birthday, Toni Braxton, the R&B singer. She was part of that whole Dancing with the Stars thing at one point, I think the last time around. And also celebrating a birthday, former National Security Council aide Ollie North with a big birthday. So that and more happening in just a few. But before we get to that, some of the so-called news you can abuse stories that I think you'll find interesting. You know those corn mazes where you can get lost? It seems like forever. Scary to me. I went into one once and I had a really tough time actually finding my way out. I thought I had a good sense of direction, and apparently it works in a city. It does not work in a corn maze. So here's what happened in Dandridge, Tennessee. You had Daniel Lockhart and his girlfriend spotted at the Echo Valley Farm cornfield. Police say they ran into the 32-acre maze, but they didn't make an amazing escape. They evacuated the area, started looking for them. It took the cops and the dogs about 2 hours to find them, and then they reopened the maze. Why were they after them? Because he was a wanted felon. He was suspected of assault. Yeah. So they found him in the maze. Can you imagine that? Hearing those dogs, keep running. Finally, this one, too, when it comes to strangeness, Fluffy. When I say the name Fluffy, what do you think of? I don't know, maybe a pet rabbit, pet dog even. But Fluffy is perhaps the world's largest snake. 24 feet python was sold to the Columbus, Ohio Zoo and Aquarium last year. It was raised from a hatchling by an Oklahoma snake breeder, Bob Clark. Researchers visited the zoo last week to measure Fluffy. The Guinness people did. And zoo officials feel their python is now the longest snake in captivity. Wow, that's long. 24 feet. Think about it, people. That's a long snake. All right, how about this from Eureka Township, Michigan? Love the people in Michigan. What are they thinking, though, with this one? This is actually pretty interesting. They're doing a La Tour de Donut. As you can imagine, you got about 150 cyclists. They do a 30-mile ride with donut stops every 10 miles. For every donut eaten, organizers deduct 3 minutes from their overall time. And I guess if you toss your cookies or donuts, you're disqualified, so you have to keep it down. It's not like these professional eaters. Ryan King of Grand Rapids might have to bike a few extra miles to work off all the goodies. He got the award for the most donuts eaten. He and two others ate 10 each. Yeah. And King apparently had the fastest time. So think about it. 30 miles, stop. I don't know that I could finish the race, though, plunking down all those donuts. Donovan, could you do, well, you could do it. You bike. But imagine stopping every 10 miles. Do you think you could plunk down the amount of donuts that they did, 10 each?
Probably not. My usual limit on donuts is one or two.
Yeah, I can't do the donut thing either. If it's too sweet or filling or something.
Maybe if it were bagels, it'd be different.
Now you're talking. Like with some cream cheese on it? Yeah, that would be different. Easier to eat, I think. I don't know. All right, here's another one for you, too. This is strange. You know, everybody hates when you smell something, you don't know what it is, especially when it's in a city. We were just talking about that meat odor last time around, those poor people with this rotting meat, the bison meat. This time it's in Washington, and it's a ginkgo tree. The tree is popular in urban areas because of its hardiness. You know, it lasts for so long. And the ginkgo apparently has a downside, the smell. People said the ginkgo stinko is like rotten eggs or even smells like vomit. Ugh. Iowa City is ripping out its ginkgo trees. In Washington, the female trees are being replaced by males. So the experts say that the large seeds produced by the female ginkgo produce the odor. Oh, of course, blame it on the female trees. Now I'm curious as to what it smells like. I'm going to have to get some ginkgo and figure that one out. I mentioned this day in history. Time is dwindling. There are just 85 days left in the year. It is October 7th. for what it's worth. Here are a couple of other things that I can mention to you. I already told you about some key things that happened way back when. This is a sad one. In 1998, Matthew Shepard, a gay college student at the University of Wyoming, was beaten, robbed, and left tied to a wooden fence post outside of Laramie. He died 5 days later. And the two guys responsible for it are serving life sentences for the murder. And, of course, there are many people that were stunned by this. They did a movie about it. And there's, I think, even some kind of a fund now in the name of Matthew Shepard. But very, 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 very sad. Also, 10 years ago, American Home Products Corporation resolved one of the biggest product liability cases ever. They agreed to pay about $4.83 billion, yeah, that's huge, to settle claims that the Fen-Phen drug, or diet rather, diet drug combination caused dangerous heart valve problems. Remember, there were people that took it, lost weight, and died, or were in the middle of taking it because he got that heart rush. In fact, a lot of things contained Fen-Phen, so that was a huge number, but a lot of people were dying, or I say a lot, but there were some shocking deaths from the Fen-Phen. 5 years ago, President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney concealed that Saddam Hussein had no weapons, that Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction. They tried to shift the Iraq war debate to a new issue, whether the invasion was justified because Saddam was abusing a UN oil for food program. And it's true. Did we need to get rid of Saddam Hussein? I would say yes. But the whole weapons for mass destruction, the weapons of mass destruction debate was ongoing for such a very long time, remember. Let's switch to birthdays. Can we have some music, please? All right, I told you about Joy Behar from The View. She turns 67 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, Ollie North. He's a year younger at 66. Actress Jill Larson from All My Children, if you're into the soap, 62 years old. John Mellencamp, Little Pink Houses. Well, he's got better songs than that, actually. 58 years old. Actor Dylan Baker is 51. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma is 54 years old. Country singer Dale Watson is 47. I told you about Toni Braxton, the R&B singer. She's turning 42 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, he was one of those American Idol guys. If you happen to see him, singer Taylor Hicks. Where is he now? 33 years old. Country singer Dale Watson is 47. Pop singer Ann Curl is from Exposé, 46 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, singer Al Martino is 82 years old. Retired South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu celebrating his 78th birthday. Rock musician Tico Torres is 56. Happy birthday, everyone.